You're listening to Sports Overnight Weekend.
It's time now for the Combat Sports Update, brought to you by the World Boxing Organization. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or at WBOboxing.com. Take it away, Taco Man.
Former WBO 126-pound champion Mikey Garcia back in the ring after 2.5-year layoff, now 35 and zip, 27 KOs crushed. Former champion Elio Rojas, of course, coming in at 24-2, leaving 24-3. And real quick, man, like 5 rounds later, 5-round TKO, the kid's back. I'm talking about the kid from Oxnard, California, Mikey Garcia. Of course, a 2.5-year layoff, and he's only like 27, 28 years old. Yes, it won't hurt him as far as his career is concerned, as far as time is concerned, but, you know, maybe he missed a couple of good paydays. You know, I mean, 2.5 years is a long time to be off, but he's back. He's rocking, he's rolling, of course. His middle name is Litigation. That's why he was off for as long as he was. The semi-main event, the kid from the hometown. I'm talking about Paul Malinas. He was a winner tonight, a 10-round decision. Former IBF, I think, 140-pound champion. Paulie Malinas, now 35-7. Once the United States Golden Glove champion back like in 1992, somewhere. I think it was 1990, somewhere around there, a long, long time ago. 35-7, 7 KOs, can't punch. Yeah, I'm pointing at another guy that can't punch from across the city, a Battle of Brooklyn. Gabriel Pacero came in at 24-2 with 6 KOs. The bottom line is neither guy can punch, and Malinas won 96-94, 98-92, and 98-92. Now, as far as boxing was concerned, of course, we're talking about the big fights, the Santa Cruz fight. Melio Santa Cruz, the guy came in at 30-0. He was supposed to be like the stud premier boxing champions. We're building him up. It's like the next era, like the next Wilfredo Gomez. You know who Wilfredo Gomez was? He was like the best Puerto Rican fighter pound for pound in the world. But I mean, he's an amazing fighter. He was a puncher. He came to fight. But you know, Frampton, although not the knockout artist, Santa Cruz, not the knockout artist that Gomez was. Gomez, I think, was 34-0 with 34 knockouts at one point in time. But 32-1-1, 18 wax. Came up short on the scorecards to the kid from the UK. I'm talking about Frampton. No, not Peter Frampton. Carl Frampton. Carl Frampton came alive tonight. That's right. In the Barclays Center on Showtime from New York City, folks. The bottom line is, at the end of 12 rounds, the scores are 117-111, 116-112. That's a long, long one. 116-112 is 8-4 in rounds. 117-111, that's 9-3 in rounds. Okay, so what I'm trying to tell you is one judge gave this guy 3 rounds, another judge gave him 4 rounds, but another judge called it even. Another judge called it even for Santa Cruz. So I don't know how that happened, but the bottom line is 114-114 was a crime. But in the end, you know, like Mark Ratton used to tell me when he ran the Nevada City Athletic Commission, Pedro, who cares about that bad score as long as the right guy won? Well, I care about the bad score. Speaking of bad scores, didn't go to the scorecards at the USC 201. The welterweight championship changed hands. Zach Attack, take it away.
Oh, yes, it certainly did. It changed hands real quick. I mean, Tyron Woodley, he knocked out Robbie Lawler in the first round. You know, he just dispatched him. He landed his famous right hand that put Josh Koscheck away, landed some follow-up punches, and that was all she wrote. A bit of an upset there. I thought that Woodley had a chance, and I think Robbie Lawler trusted his chin a little too much. But at the end of the day, I mean, you definitely got to give the props to Woodley. He knocked out Robbie Lawler in 2 minutes and 12 seconds.
Okay, but the bottom line is at the end of the night, I wouldn't have paid $60 for that, would you?
No, it's not a good
I mean, this was the UFC on pay-per-view, though. Don't they have any – I mean, can't they realize, like, once in a while maybe they don't have a pay-per-view-worthy card, and this was one of them?
This was definitely a card that you'd want to put on free TV. And to be fair, I mean, the main event ending in an upset knockout, I think that's a good result. A lot of people were big Lawler fans and they're disappointed. I like when titles change hands and when there's upsets. I think it's more exciting for the sport. But this definitely was not pay-per-view worthy, and I can't see it selling that well.
No, this is another one of those pay-per-views where you and I used to joke where more people stole it than paid for it.
Oh, definitely. I mean, look at your co-main event, Carolina Kowalkiewicz.
Yeah, you having problems. Yeah, are you having problems with those names as well? I'll get it for you. How about this one? We call her Double K, all right? Yeah, we'll just call her Double K. Carolina Kowalkiewicz, and I'll just put it, Kowalkiewicz. Anyway, she took out Rose Namajunas. That was a split decision over 3 rounds. Those are the chicks fight. Of course, the chicks, were they entertaining?
That fight wasn't too bad, but I mean, I don't think it was pay-per-view co-headliner worthy.
They're not. Those aren't. I can't think of anybody outside of the title being on the line being pay-per-view worthy at all.
definitely. I mean, and definitely not those girls where they're kind of like mid-tier division fighters, you know? I know there were a lot of injuries that kind of destroyed this card, as with any UFC card. Jake Ellenberger was a winner. He picked up his first win in a while. He got a TKO over Matt Brown, who was, this is the first time Matt Brown's been stopped, and he knocked him out with a kick to the body in a minute and 46 seconds.
Wow. Speaking of a kick to the body, before we go back to this card, you think that Anderson Silva failed to smell the blood in the water that night with Daniel Cormier when he kicked him on the side like that? I mean, I could see it through. I smelled the blood through the TV set.
Oh, yeah, you and I mean, we saw that. I think that he smelled the blood, but I think, you know, there wasn't a lot of time left in the fight. I think he did what he could, but he should have thrown something like that earlier because I think that was open the entire time with that belly that Cormier has.
Okay, outside of Jorge Masvidal and Ross Pearson, I don't know any of the rest of the people on this UFC 201 card. So you're trying to tell me that if I'm a UFC fan, I should spend $60 for this? I mean, the UFC, they should have some, there should be some, how can I put this? They've got chutzpah. Do you know what chutzpah is?
Yeah.
Yeah, these guys have got chutzpah. To put this kind of crap on pay-per-view, Cadwalader, you put this on pay-per-view in a minute, I know that, but this takes chutzpah. This is not a pay-per-view event. Of course, we've got UFC 202 coming up. That is a pay-per-view event, no doubt about it. The Stockton Slapper will be in the house to talk about Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz, our big hero around here, of course. Conor McGregor, of course, the current world featherweight champion. And everybody feels that Conor McGregor is going to come back, and or a lot of people feel he's going to come back and acquit himself well after that first loss. I mean, the loss to Diaz. Of course, he lost fights before, two fights prior. But he thinks he's going to be able to come back here. You know, 75 to 80% of the time, the guy that won the first fight wins the second fight.
Definitely, and it's not going to be a walk in the park, and I think it would be kind of foolish to bet on McGregor, you know, even though there's always a chance. I think it would be foolish to bet on him because it's just, when you saw that last fight, you know, Diaz wasn't prepared, and to be fair, I don't think that Conor came in the best shape either because he wasn't ready to jump up that much weight, but I definitely think that he had an advantage going into that fight, and now you got a fully trained Nate Diaz who's bigger than Chuck Liddell, Chuck Liddell who's been retired for a couple years. He looked bigger than him, so that's definitely worrisome if you're in McGregor's camp.
Cadwalader, you like to take advantage of the numbers here. Is there a reason to drop money on Diaz?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we talk about how he kind of shotgunned the match in a way. He's got a full camp this time, and he's got the confidence, but not like Diaz is ever short of confidence, but he's going in with a win already. There's no reason to think he's not going to win again.
I called the training camp on Friday to try to get him on the phone, and he wouldn't get on the phone. And his trainer Caesar, one of his trainers, Caesar Gracie, was on the phone talking to me, blah, blah, blah. He says, he'll try to get to me next week. We'll see what's happening. And Nate Diaz and Conor McGregor, of course, the main event, UFC 202. Anthony Rummel Johnson, the co-main event against Glover Teixeira. Glover Teixeira can punch. How do I know? He broke a bone in my buddy Kyle Kingsbury's face. On the same card, Rick Story and Donald Cerrone. Now, Donald Cerrone, Zach has been complaining. His last fight, he said he got paid the equivalent of a piece of feces. Do you know what he meant by that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, these guys are not getting paid well. And Donald Cerrone, you know, he's been loyal to the company. He stepped in a lot of times on short notice and saved some cards.
And got whooped in some cases and got beat in some cases.
Oh, well, yeah, a few cases. I mean, so Donald Cerrone, I could definitely see why you'd be upset, but he's a guy who's not the greatest with his money. You know, he buys a lot of things that he doesn't really need. But at the same time, I mean, he still should be getting paid better than he is.
Interesting. Dana White, of course, having sold the UFC, says he's going to continue on as their chief officer as far as the face is concerned of the UFC. But I think this lawsuit's going to change everything. I think when the lawsuit finally gets to court, of course, $4.2 billion. Wow. Think about that just for a second. $4.2 billion. Barcelona, the soccer stadium, soccer team is worth like, I think, 3.6. And Manchester is worth something like 3.6. Something like. Anyway, they're real close to there. Of course, the Cowboys are considered the highest value as far as a sports franchise is concerned. They're worth like $4 billion. Now, UFC is worth $4.2 billion. Now, let's talk to a man that knows something about the B word, the billion word there. Cadwalader, is this a good investment?
You know, I don't think that it is at that price point. Realistically, with the soccer teams, we'll take for example, you can easily sell merchandise every year, especially in soccer. There's going to be a new jersey, new kits, and there's not just one kit. There's a home, an away, a keeper, a second, an alternate. So, I mean, we're talking upwards 4 or 5 jerseys for a global fan base to buy every year. We'll call it $50 a pop. Well, that's a ton of income and revenue right there. The UFC doesn't quite have the same marketing advantage. While they do have the star names that they can market, in terms of merchandise, I would wager a lot of money that the soccer clubs are bringing in a lot more revenue on merchandise than the UFC is capable of doing. And how much more room does the UFC actually have to grow when you consider you have a $4 billion investment? Obviously, when you spend that amount of money, you want to make at least a quarter of that money back on top. So these guys, I think realistically, are going in expecting to somehow bring the valuation of the UFC up to $5 billion. And that's a huge number when we're already talking $4 billion. And, you know, we look at the Cowboys, and over the last 10 years, I think it's safe to say, I don't have the numbers in front of me, that they haven't jumped $1 billion. They've probably gone up a few hundred, but to think $1 billion raise in company value when the takeover is going to take at least a year before things start to get settled in, I just don't see the room for that kind of growth that would justify spending $4 billion.
Jack, these guys overdosed on Viagra, man. I mean, they got way, way, way too up here. I mean, they shouldn't. You know, somebody the other day, I won't say who it is because he's an economist and he's somewhat well-known. But he told me he thought the UFC, its face value is worth about $1.2 billion. So that's like a fourth of what it sold for. Does that surprise you at all, Cadwallader?
What was that last part?
$1.2 billion. As an economist told me, he thought the UFC was worth at a max, especially with this litigation involved with the class action lawsuit brought against them by the former fighters, okay? But the bottom line is, he thinks it's worth $1.2 billion. And I asked him, why could he explain that to me? And he did. He went on. He talked about the merchandise. He talked about the television around the world. He talked about all kinds of things, how the NFL's got it head and shoulders as far as organization is concerned over the UFC, as do the soccer teams in Europe. So he was trying to tell me that if he was to spend this kind of money, he's got a lot of money, but he said he was to spend that kind of money, not that he has it, but he thinks it's worth about $1.2 billion. Are these people that are buying the UFC, are they suckers, Dominic? Are they that stupid or what?
I don't think that they're stupid. I think what it is they got a little too excited about, hey, we can get the UFC. Clearly they're fans. They love what UFC has done. They love the way it's grown. But I don't know if 1.2 is the right number, but I'm going to lean towards his valuation more than my own here since he's an economist. But he's right. And you got to remember, the UFC is also a pay-per-view product, so they're not going to have the same type of television deals that and the backing of major organizations. They're their own entity, and they rely on pay-per-views. So if you it's not easy to have a monster pay-per-view, and if you have a bunch of cards like you did Saturday night, it's gonna be tough to you don't have that backing of a major cable network like these other sports do. I don't see the $4 billion being justified. I really don't. I think they might even lose a little bit of money on this deal.
On the other side of the break, Zach Attack will talk to me about the Brock Lesnar suspension. No, he's not getting suspended by the WWE. It's okay if you take steroids. It's okay if you take steroids. The UFC is a different story. Bottom line is, Zach will be back with that after the break. You are tuned to the Sports Byline Broadcast. This has been your Combat Sports Update, brought to you by the World Boxing Organization. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. This is Sports Byline. I am Johnny Talk.